Hello, everybody. Welcome. Today is Monday, November 6, 2023. I am Sour Blue Sister, and this is My Turn to Talk. Hey, Frankie. How are you? Welcome back. Ace, welcome, welcome. And Brina, welcome. Number 1, 2, and 3 today. You guys had a good weekend. I had a good one, busy but good, and I hope your day is going well. And as always, whatever platform you're streaming, whether it be live or on the replay, thank you very much. Everyone is always appreciated. Always. I'm just gonna download my outro song real quick. Or upload, rather. Hey, Minnesota, welcome. Play a little bit of Al Green for you guys on the outro. Hey, son, welcome. Welcome in. Welcome, welcome. Okay. I'm sorry, TQ. You just tickle me. You just tickle me. You make me smile. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. So, Ace, I have to ask, you got a day off today? Because you're here early. I'm happy. All right, y'all. So, today I want to talk about trade-offs and see if we can stay on topic today. should non-violent drug offenders be released and violent criminals remain? And will this help the horrible prison system? You were sent home sick, or someone, or your class was sent home sick, or? Oh, you were. Well, I hope you feel better. Hey, Crazy, welcome. I do hope you feel better. Being sick sucks. Okay, so, should violent drug offenders be released? And I am saying violent. Okay, because there are some drug offenders who are just, you know, just drug offenders smoking weed, you know, and that's it. And then you have your violent ones. So should the violent drug offenders be released and violent criminals remain? Or should anyone, I'm going to change this up. Should anyone, hey, Angel Bear, should anyone be, any criminal be released from prison early? If they are truly a criminal, should they be released from prison early, and should their offense matter? So, I mean, I, for one, think that, you know, if you're smoking weed, whatever, you should not go to prison. I think that's a waste of, I am fine, Angel Bear. Thank you for asking. You know, cause I actually think that's a waste of space, waste of taxpayer money, sending somebody to prison for weed. So that's just me. Even if you're growing it. You know, I'm sorry. I just, you know, I'm like, if you want to, you know, this is, may come back to haunt me, you know, years later. I don't know. But if you're growing weed in your backyard, who cares? Who cares? I mean, you know, you're not doing coke. You're not doing meth. You know, you're not shooting anything up your arm, whatever. You know, it's weed. So should the, if you're in prison and if they're going to release a lot of people from prison and you look at drug charges, does it matter the type of drug charge that you're on? A says, a better question, why don't we provide actual rehabilitation rather than the services sets up to repeat offenders? Well, Ace, technically, aren't we giving them rehabilitation? Technically? Ha ha ha. I mean... Rena says, yep, that would have helped a bunch of my family members and friends. I mean, okay, so let me ask this. Ace, I'm going to invite you up. If you're able to come up, please do. If not, I totally understand if you're not feeling well. But, and I say this to Brina also. Yes, Brina, weed smokers are pretty harmless. So, Ace, when you say rehab, exactly what does rehab look like? Because rehab to one person may be rehab to something else, or someone else.
There are countries that successfully do not have as high a rate of repeat offenders as we do. The rehabilitation that I am referring to, I get it. Yeah, we like to say we allegedly they're in rehabilitation, so forth, so on. It isn't just for the particular act in which you cause, but it's actual therapeutic services. It's actual psychology related services. It's actual working with them to make them a productive member of society like they may have been at one point in time. And then instead of just releasing them into the world and saying, best of luck, they follow up with them and we have rehab houses, but they are nothing like the ones in these other countries. And the odds of you getting into these rehab houses are a lot slimmer. Whereas these rehab houses in certain other countries are set up like you don't have a choice. That is your next step. Because now we're going to work with you to make sure that you can continue and maintain everything that you have learned. And that way you're not alone. You have a support system and everything else until you are actually to the point where you are on your feet and can be on your own again. And don't get me wrong, I'm not going to sit here and say that they don't have repeat offenders, but their repeat offender rate is not as high as what we have here in the States. Doesn't help that we are a big proponent of the school to prison pipeline.
So in these other countries, do they set people up to, we'll put it like this, are they still a criminal when they come out? Meaning if they go get a job, do they have to say that they were in prison where it's harder for you to get a job or get, you know, rent someplace or even date someone if they find out that you were in prison? I mean, do you think that that's something that you should have to tell people?
Does it matter?
Because when you look at it, Ace, I mean, there are people who have never been to prison and are some of the shadiest people ever.
Facts.
You know, so
I think the fact that you have to check mark that you're a felon to get a job is ridiculous. They served their time, allegedly. Don't get me wrong. I understand some people get out for some shady ass shit. I'm sorry, my bad, for some shady stuff. But if you served your time, why are we still? I guess I have a huge problem with the fact that we love to hold people to their past mistakes and not give them the opportunity to prove that they can change. People can change if they want to change. But why should a mistake you made, and some people that I know, it's a mistake that they made when they were a teenager and is being held over your head and you're 40 something years old and have not ever done anything like that again?
Okay, I have to put a disclaimer in here because I know a certain person listens to my show, even though they no longer come on my show anymore. So I am going to say this because of what you just said, that people hold people, you know, for something they did way back when. I am one of those people, but I do it if you're a repeat offender. If you keep doing the same shit over and over and over again, and you want to keep being forgiven for the same stuff, yes, I will hold that over on you until the day you die. Now, if you actually try to change and you stop doing the same stuff, I don't have a problem. But if you are a repeat offender, I will hold that over you. I just want to throw that out there so nobody can say, Silent, you are a hypocrite or whatever. I am admitting to it, and that is the reason why. Now, Ace, for what you said, if you did time because you were selling weed or you were smoking weed or you had, you know, you got stopped for a traffic ticket and the cops smelled weed and, you know, all of a sudden you're in jail because, this is your third offense, you know. And when you get out and you want that job and they say, well, why were you in prison? You said, well, I was smoking weed. Is that a reason to deny you from getting the job as opposed to, well, I killed somebody 30 years ago?
I don't believe so, no. I think that there's way too many people that are locked up for real petty things, like literally having they get locked up for just having a zip on, not even a zip, it would just be a blunt, and you would have gotten locked up. And because they now see you as a target, because they know you smoke, they intentionally stalk you in order to get you again, and then you end up in prison because at three strikes, you're out. And it's not fair that we have people sitting there on tax dollar money that honestly did not hurt anybody else in the process. All you did was smoke some weed, and now you're turning around and you're legalizing it here and there and everywhere else, but you're not letting these people out that you put in your prison for the same thing you're legalizing right now.
Okay, now, Fair Use says, and by the way, official welcome to Dane Fair Use Blunt, Mr. B. Welcome. Fair Use says no one should be arrested for a plant. And that is true. So again, it's going back to what you said about, you know, people can change, whatever. Let's say you did commit murder and you did your time. You did those 30 years and you have changed. You do see the error of your ways. Should that prevent you from getting that job when they ask, why were you in prison? And you said murder. And it was 30 years ago. It wasn't 5 years ago. It was 30 years ago. It wasn't yesterday. It was 30, 40 years ago.
I'm going to say no. Me personally, in my opinion, the answer would be no. Okay. You did your time. And you don't, if you're never given a chance to prove that you're a different person, then we're setting you up for failure. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand a repeat offender thing because we talked about this before. I finally learned my boundaries. So there's some things that, no, I'm sorry, you've done it way too many times. But you were locked up for 30 years. You just got out. I feel that it is unfair if you've done your time. And it is, why would I not give you a chance to try and prove to the world that you're a different person?
Okay. Now, I do agree with Dane when he says if the job is clubbing baby sales.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, but hey, Juju, welcome. So, okay. So then, Blunt, I'm going to put you on the spot here and I will answer the question first. What if that person kills your family member? Me, I'm like, stay in prison. I'm not hiring you. You don't get a second chance. And that's being very biased, but you killed a member of my family as opposed to you killing somebody that I don't know. And I'm putting you on the spot because you up here, so.
No, you're fine.
Hey, young lady.
I'm not going to lie. I would still give you a chance. And the reason why I say this is because I would be very contradictory in not doing so for the simple fact that there is a police officer running the streets that killed my brother and they are still working. And I forgive them for myself and I harbor no hatred towards them? Do I wish that none of it ever went down? Absolutely. Do I wish I could understand why you did what you did? Absolutely. If I ever got to have that conversation with them, I would want to have it. But I can't sit here and say that you didn't learn a lesson. So I couldn't necessarily do that to somebody, a regular Joe Schmo, that, I don't know, my brother was in the wrong place at the wrong time and you killed him. I don't know what you were going through. I can't say that I agree with what happened or how it went down, but if I can get to the point where I forgive you for me, for the purpose of my own peace, I still believe you have a right to prove yourself and that you are different. Now, if we find out that this is not a one-time incident, this is normal for you, then no, I'm going to look at it with a different set of glasses, because you've already shown you're a repeat offender, not saying that you cannot change, but who's to say that changes today?
Okay. All right. And I'm going to say, Ace, you are a better person than me. You are a better person than me. So in order to, when you look at clearing out the prisons, the ones that are overcrowded, whatever, should most drug offenders, be it weed or cocaine or meth, whatever, should they be released, or should drug offenders go somewhere completely different? Drug offenders not even be put in with murders and thieves and whatever.
If it was a plant, you shouldn't be in the first place. If we are talking about a processed drug, whether it be prescription painkillers, cocaine, whatever, you should have been sent to a rehabilitation facility where you are required to stay. It is not an optional thing, and it is a long-term rehabilitation, because the damage that, don't get me wrong, you may not be doing it to somebody else. You may only be damaging yourself, but that is something that I could not wholeheartedly be okay with you just going right back out in the streets without some effort to help you get clean and find a way to stay clean and cope. Because if you ran to a hard drug like that, odds are you're running from something and you don't have the coping mechanisms that you need.
So again, I come back and say, should drug use be a crime? And again, I'm not talking that you're the one that's processing. You're not the one that's the manufacturer. You're just the user. So the user. You're just the user.
I don't think it should be a crime. Okay. Now, if you hurt somebody or rob somebody to get the stuff, to get the drug, that's a different story, because now you're talking about different crimes. But the use of the drug itself, I don't think it should be a crime. I think it should be a rehabilitation situation.
Do you think that would cut down on a lot of crime in this country if users were not put in jail, if they weren't the bad people, so to speak?
I mean, I don't know. I'm sure that it would definitely make a dent, at least in the jail system. I don't know about the prison system, but at least in the jail system, it would make a dent, because you're locking up people and then turning around, they go to their court date and you let them right back out and they do the exact same thing. Nobody there to support them, nobody to help them figure out how to get through it. So yeah, I think it would make a difference, at least at the jail level.
Okay. All right. Shy Lady, I am coming to you, but let me read some of these comments. Brina says, those manufactured drugs can lead you to violent crimes when you can't get it. So I agree with the rehab part. Let's see, you all are saying hi to each other. Okay. Hey, Shy Lady.
Hey. I'll put a disclaimer out there. I am in the gym, so if the reception is not good before I go out, blame the gym. Anyway. Hi, everybody. I haven't been on in a while, but good to be on and chat with you guys. So my thing is with the drug situation is I think that our judicial system, like everything else in our country, is about money. I think that it's hypocritical to put people in jail when people that use alcohol are just as much responsible for deaths and people being maimed, people being paralyzed. It's just as damaging, even if they're just medicating themselves with alcohol. I don't see any difference from people using drugs versus people using alcohol. Some people can use drugs and go to work and not really harm themselves. I mean, they may medicate or whatever over it, but some people can actually hold a job, just like some people can go get liquor and can go back and forth to work. But it's those people who abuse liquor that lead to a lot of really, really bad things that can just mess up people's lives forever. You know, I had two kids hit by drunk drivers, and both of my kids are alive, and they weren't maimed or anything, but the one kid had a horrific accident where the car not only hit her at 75 miles per hour, but it hit her so hard on the driver's side that it landed on top of the roof of the car that she was in. And this car that hit her was a Jeep. And the car she was driving in was a sedan. It was a Nissan. So by the grace of God, she survived and just had some cuts and bruises. But I just want to say that I think it's very hypocritical to, constantly, lock people up for drug use, but you're not really that concerned about people abusing alcohol. Some people that drive and drink, some of them do get sentenced or whatever. But in the cases with my family, nothing happened. They didn't, for all I know, this guy could be still continuing his bad habit of drinking and driving. And this man was well into his 40s doing this. So I just think it's hypocritical. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay. All right. Shy Lady brings up a really good point. It's like, people drink and drive every single day. You go out to eat, you have a couple of drinks, you get into the car and you drive home. We're at parties, and your drunk friend is getting into the car. A lot of times people are laughing, ha ha ha, yeah, you're drunk, whatever, but no one takes away the keys. No one says, I'll drive you home. You can come back and, pick up your car tomorrow. No one says that. So that is a very, very good point. Fair Use says, lock up the dealers and the kingpins, go after the cartels and gangs, but user, no, they don't need jail, but rather a different type of rehabilitation. Minnesota says, very true. My brother has been at death's door for a year because of a damn drunk driver. Crazy Lady, you're saying I do. I'm not sure what you're saying. I do too.
You said no one says that, and she's like, I do. Like that.
Oh, okay, okay, say, okay. Got it.
Not
got it.
No one, Miss Ma'am.
Okay. All right. Got it. I will even pay for the way home. But but I'll put it like this. I think very few people will say, I'll take you home or let me give you a ride home. Because a lot of people, because they're partying, they think they're having fun. They think that it's funny too. When you, again, go out to that restaurant, you have that, it could be your husband, it could be your wife, it could be your kid, whatever, who is getting into the car and they're drunk and they're driving. Oh, I can make it home. It's only a mile or it's only just around the block,
No, you're absolutely right. I don't think it doesn't get said enough because you're right. And I've seen it myself when I was younger at parties. Everybody would be like, no, I'm good. And because they feel good, they think the other person's good. And I was that one that got into fights because I would take keys. Like, you're not going anywhere. You had too many drinks. Just one can be too many depending on you, your size, what you've consumed prior to that, anything else.
But you know what though? Should there be a law? Because now we have laws where if you go to a bar and drink, the bar owner or whomever can get in trouble if they don't you know, they don't cut you off or they allow you to go home. Mm-hmm. Should the same thing be for a party? Should the same thing be for if you just gave a small party at your house and they you allow someone to go home? Should the person, should the host be responsible if you go out and you hit somebody?
I don't know about all states, but I know here, if you left a party and got into an accident because you were drunk, the person who hosted the party also suffers consequences. Now, I don't know about every other state, but I know they do that.
Okay. All right. Hey, Mr. B, welcome.
Hey, I just want to add a point real quick. I'm sure people already know this, but it's good to remind. When you take your last drink, I'm talking about your last drink, you don't feel the full effect of it till 2 hours later. So as you stop drinking, you're still getting drunker and drunker. So that's why some people who are at the bar, they're like, I'm not drunk. I'm fine. I can drive home. And they get pulled over. And then, it, you know, they're blowing in it because they didn't realize or forgot about your body still processing the alcohol. So therefore, you'll get drunker and drunker as the night goes. So 2 hours after your last drink.
So are you of the opinion then that if you are a drunk driver, then you should be in jail as opposed to rehab? When I say rehab, as opposed to why, you know, that you're drunk. And does it matter if you were driving drunk and you got pulled over by the cops, as opposed to you were driving drunk and you had an accident and you hurt someone else? Does that matter?
Yeah, I would say if they get caught drinking and driving, as long as nobody's hurt, I think they should go to rehab and be forced to go. But unfortunately, people who are forced to go to rehab, they usually doesn't have a good turnout because, you know, they're being forced. But if they, you know, somebody get hit, I don't care if they get killed or not, they should automatically go to jail. Because okay, it's a serious account.
Okay, now Crazy Lady says both jail and rehab. Now, my thing is, just because you got pulled over, who's to say that before you got pulled over, you hit somebody's dog or you hit somebody on a bike, meaning you didn't get caught. You got pulled over because you were drunk and you were driving drunk, but you didn't get caught hitting someone and hurting someone or something.
Oh, well, I guess I would say if you don't know, then you guess they didn't do it. But there's like, you know, evidence they know they did, then yeah, they should go. Because I think jail doesn't do anybody good. I mean, people should go to jail for certain crimes, but I'm thinking like drugs and all that stuff. It's not helpful. It's hindering because sometimes they get more drugs when they go in.
This is true. You know, so let's see. Crazy says jail first, rehab after. Perry says I think DUI is different than vehicular homicide. A says I agree. Crazy Lady says it is. Crazy says 100% to fair use. And Minnesota says totally disagree. Minnesota, you want to come up and tell your story, or I mean, so they can understand why you're saying that? I mean, I know why you're saying that. No, I'll upset. Can I tell? Is it okay? I think some of them already know. All right. Crazy says driving under the influence, you don't hurt anyone, should be jail still, rehab. Okay, fair use. So, hey, Spanky, welcome. It has been a minute. Welcome. Okay, so fair use. I'm going to respond because Minnesota, she will get upset, and I will get upset. Okay, so her brother is someone that I've mentioned on the show, that I've known him since I was 14. I love him. I truly love this man. In the last year, I've been to Minnesota many, many times because my childhood friend was hit by a drunk driver July of 2022. He has not returned to work. He is not the same person that he was. He is in constant pain. He is back and forth to the hospital. And this drunk driver that hit him maimed three other people, but not as bad as Minnesota's brother. If he dies, and I'm going to say this, which he's always close, back and forth, it will be murder for the guy that hit him because his injuries were that great. So no, I do not think that a DUI is different from vehicular homicide. And going back to Shy Lady, I remember when her daughter was hit. It was a traumatic experience for her and her family, especially her daughter. I saw pictures of the car. I do not think a DUI is different from vehicular homicide. If you get into a car, I don't care if you hit somebody's dog, you're hurting someone. If you run into someone's house and you just miss the baby or you just miss the people sitting at dinner, whatever, you are taking a chance of hurting someone. You make the choice to drink and get behind the wheel of a car. I don't care if you're just going to get gas. I don't care if you are just driving around the block, whatever. You made that choice. A DUI, in my opinion, is the same. Whether or not you hurt someone or not. That's just my opinion. That's how I feel. Fair use says the person driving under influence under alcohol or drugs for only driving under influence, I believe, should not be in jail. A person driving under influence to hurt someone or kill someone requires consequences of jail time. I have to disagree because you're taking that chance. I don't care if you just made it home. You made it home okay. You know, you made it to your driveway, and I don't care if you pass out and you wake up in your driveway the next day. You still took that chance. You still took that chance of somebody walking across the street, whatever, of hurting someone. You got into a car that just driving alone, even when you're not drunk or you're not high or whatever. When you get behind the wheel of a car, it's a massive responsibility. So those people who try to speed and you trying to speed, you know, before somebody else, you know, you want to get in front of somebody, whatever, you're playing with someone's lives. I may sound like a prude. I don't care. But I just have to say, are you going to change your tune when it's your family member? Are you going to change your tune when it's you? Because that's when people usually change their tune. Hey, Shorty, welcome.
Can I say something?
So, shall I? And then I'm going to go to Crazy Lady. Go ahead.
I just want to say, I totally agree with you. No one has the right to not take a life so much to speak, but no one has the right to put my life or a family member or my friend's life at risk because of your bad choices. You don't have that right. And you should go to jail, even if my family member survived. But like in Minnesota's case, this person is suffering the rest of their life. For the rest of their life. And the sad part about a lot of this, because I worked in insurance and bodily injury, the sad part about it, a lot of times the people's policies can't even cover all the surgeries that are needed, can't even cover it, or the rehab that's needed. And it's a very sad situation, and they should go to jail. And the man that hit my daughter, this man knew he had a lot of drink because he was at a bar after work, and someone found the receipt that he had bought like 10 drinks. We tried to sue the bar, but of course they had connections. They got free of it. because we saw the receipt, all the drinks that he had bought. It was over $300 worth of drinks. But yet he did no time, nothing. And it's not right. You have no right to take my life or a friend of mine or my family member's life because of your bad choices.
Okay. Crazy lady, welcome and thank you for waiting patiently.
Not a problem. I would agree with, you know, because if you've been drinking drive, if being responsible is part of that, you know, if you're going to drink, hey, have a designated driver, A, that's always a good option, one that I always go with. And I mean, and you know, I'll take your keys. I'll pay for your Uber. I don't care. You can spend the night. I don't care. You're not drinking and driving. End of story.
Okay.
And it, you know, because like, you know, you are, you're, when you do that, or when for drugs, you're taking everybody else's rights away from them. You know? And yeah. So I know people that I'm one of them. I'm nervous in a car. Why? Because I've been in one too many accidents. Okay. You know?
Okay. You know, but unfortunately, a lot of people are not taking away keys. And fair use says a person should go to jail. Are you saying should a person go to jail? Or on a chance, though, plenty of people in prison, that's a citation or loss of license. But unfortunately, fair use, you have those people who lose their license and they're still driving while drunk. Crazy says, I've had someone taken from me due to a drunk driver, but I still don't think it's the same. Repeat offender, yes. Brina is asking me, so you think we should be proactive instead of reactive when someone drives under the influence? Yes, Brina, I do. Because I think that you're playing that roulette when you you know you're taking that chance. You know, you may not have hit somebody this time, so you hit somebody the next time. So if you were taken out of commission that first time, that second time would not have happened. And in the case of in the case of Minnesota's brother, this guy had been driving drunk and just getting citations for years. Is it the justice system that should have stopped him? Or should he have been stopped way before? And every time I go visit my friend, it just hurts my heart. Because this is not the person that I knew June of 2022. April of 2022. But that fateful day in July, when he and three other people are minding their own damn business, and of course the person that hits them, they walk away without a scratch. Meanwhile, one guy literally lost his arm. Another one was in the hospital for a couple of months. Another one had walked away with a broken leg. All the cars were totally, excuse my French, fucked up. But the person who hit him walked away. So yeah, I do believe that we should be proactive. But again, that's just me. You know, but somebody smoking weed, they're in prison for 10 years. But that DUI who didn't hit anyone, they're free to take another drink, to get into another car, to drive down another street, to possibly not hit someone another time. Crazy lady, you want to say something?
Yeah, you know why most drunk drivers aren't injured in the accidents? Because their body is relaxed because they're drunk. And the body don't tense up for the impact and stuff is one thing. And it, yeah.
No, and I totally get that. Mr. B says, I understand all that. The only thing I would question is, when it comes to the law, it's lots of gray areas. If no one is hurt, that person could have killed someone's family member.
There is no gray. What gray area? What gray area?
Hold on. Okay, let me finish reading it. If no one is hurt, that person could have killed someone's family member, and it should be taken seriously. I would like to see the courts work more on ways to help the individuals with the drug conditions and stop throwing the key away and use them to make money from them. Okay, so Crazy Lady, I agree. There is no gray area. And Crazy Lady, I'm sorry, and Crazy says, but you're saying that no one deserves to redeem themselves. Yes, you can redeem yourself after you've gone to jail for possibly, and yes, I am saying possibly for killing someone, possibly for hurting someone. And let me go up. So I miss somebody. Did Fair you say something? So you think she'd be proactive? Okay. Minnesota says, I'm so pissed right now. Believe me, I understand it. I get it. Crazy says, don't get me wrong. Even the second time, yes, but the first time, if they don't hurt anyone, they should get the chance to never do it again. Lulu the Potato, hello, welcome. No gray area. Law is full of gray areas. That's just a fact. No, I mean, you're right. The law is full of gray areas, but I think what Crazy Lady is saying, and what I'm saying, there are certain things that should not be a gray area. And Shy Lady she made a good point. People go to jail for planned murders. For planning a murder, people go to jail. So a DUI, you may not necessarily plan to hit someone, but when you make that choice to drive and you're drunk, sorry. No, Crazy, I know you didn't. She says, I didn't say I was against the jail stuff. I just think jail time is warranted. Fair you says, but wouldn't that open up the potential for other crimes to be based on possibilities or probability? Fair use, we already have a system where for certain people, it's already based on a possibility just from the way they look. So this jail system is already, the justice system in this country is already set up to be biased based on a possibility or a probability. So I don't know, y'all. Ace, Shy Lady, Crazy Lady, one of y'all want to jump in?
I'm afraid to jump in. at this point, I feel like this might become a volatile situation if I accidentally say the wrong thing. And I love you.
No, Ace. You know how my show is. When my show is over, it is over.
No. I know. I am not going to sit here and disrespect anything that has happened to anybody. And you said something earlier, which I commented in the comments. Like, I know that for a fact, or I can attest to that is what I said, about people that don't do any damage when they do that. They get the DUI, they lose their licenses at the other, and they still go out and about and still continue to drive and drunk. Sadly, I know somebody who has done that. And at one point in time, they did put my siblings, who were very young, at risk because they did with my siblings in the vehicle, lost their license and everything. I remember as a kid having to blow into the breathalyzer because you were too drunk to do it.
Wow.
And that the way that, I don't know if they're still set up the same way, but it was, you had to blow on it to start it. You had to blow on it 5 minutes later, and then you had to blow on it every 30 minutes from there. And I distinctly remember me being sent to go run errands with this person because they couldn't pass the breathalyzer. And more recently, me and them more so than my siblings, got into it because we were at a family reunion and you chose to drink a beer and then drink another. And we specifically said, what are you doing? And when I tried to take the keys, I became the problem.
Thank you, Mr. B, for popping in. But see, this is what I'm, it's always the innocent person or the person doing the right thing who becomes the enemy. But the person who is actually is the problem should have another chance. Then they become that repeat offender.
As I said, I'm all about redemption, but once you become a repeat offender on something, I become very weary of it. And I can say that I'm looking at the subject with the alcohol a little bit more different now, hearing, I personally don't know anybody that was in my life that I have lost or almost lost outside of my two little siblings, but I know that it was in a neighborhood and the odds of them, you know, being lost in that neighborhood was very slim. It was a street sign that he ran into. So the way I looked at it is you could have hurt my siblings, but it's been so long since I thought about that, that I never really actually sat and tried to see it from somebody else's eyes. And hearing your guys' stories, it hurts because I can feel the pain, even though I don't know these people. And I can feel the anger, even though one person I understand completely, Minnesota, not wanting to come up, and I don't blame them. And I understand that they have rage, and I said justifiably so, knowing the story. So I can feel the compassion for what you guys have experienced and seen and witnessed. But then I'm torn because part of me really believes that in the long run, it's still going to rely on rehabilitation and more factors than that, just that. But you guys are absolutely right. It's ridiculous that we will turn a blind eye to people drinking and driving and this, that, and the other, but we had, oh, you had weed on you, I'm putting you away forever, or not necessarily forever, but you mean what I know, for a very long time. Meanwhile, you were literally probably sitting on a curb smoking it or this, that, and the other. And I, at the same token, I know people that got a DUI, because they weren't even driving. They were sitting in a car that I started. I started the car. They got into the driver's seat to grab something out for me, and a cop nailed them with the ticket. So I know that there's very twisted situations that's unfair to them, but I hate people with an undying passion. Okay. I really do. I hate people, but I have nothing but compassion and want to hope for the best. And that if we don't give them the opportunity and the resources and everything that they need to try and get better, what's ever going to make them want to get better? Don't get me wrong. You still have to want to change. But when are you going to see the light in the tunnel if nobody's ever trying to show it to you? And that's where I have.
Okay. All right. So let me throw this out there to everyone. So Paul Walker died because he was in a car. He wasn't the driver. His friend was driving. And I'm talking about Paul Walker, the actor. They were speeding. They were speeding. And they hit a tree. Car caught fire. They're dead. Should people like that who are speeding or in street races, and you may not hit anybody, you may only kill yourself, or you may just, you know, wreck your own car, but you're speeding down a street where the streets are not clear. This is not where everybody don't come down the street, because there's going to be street racing. It's like somebody could be stopped at a stop sign and they could be going straight, you know, ready to go. And here comes, you know, a car and it may hit them. Should those people go to jail? They didn't plan on hitting anybody, but they knowingly got into a car and you are racing.
Yep.
You are speeding.
Yep. You should.
I agree. Yes. Or should they just get that ticket and say, don't do it again?
I have to say, the cops aren't even there when they're doing it, which drives me bonkers. But the whole scenario that you laid out, it drives me batty, because there's been times where I have been in the car with my children and I come to a complete stop and it is my turn to go. And if my music would have been up, I would have never heard something that made me go, what in the world? And sure enough, here comes a car speeding through a stop sign because they're in a rush or whatever the case may be. Like, just a couple seconds, if I would have actually hit that gas, my kids were in the back seat and it probably would have been my kids and not me. So, like, the fact that people do that, it drives me insane. But like you said, it's most of the time they get a ticket. Don't do it again.
Okay, so again, it's like that person that's speeding and that drunk driver. You chose to get into a car. You chose to speed or you chose to drink and drive. You know, you may not hit anyone or you may. So, yes, I do believe in being proactive. And just like Shylee says, people go to jail for planning a murder. You know, if I was planning a murder, I would go to jail. I didn't kill anybody because y'all stopped me before I could. But who's to say that I actually would just because I was planning it? Does that mean, you know, that I was going to do it? So, you know, here comes that word crazy. The variables are there. But I mean, come on, y'all. Let's be real, you know. And then fair use says for reckless driving, a citation unless someone is hurt or killed. That is, I'm sorry. That's just so no, nope. And crazy. There are a lot of variables. So we have to wait until someone's dead before you give this person a citation. Why not prevent it first? And again, what if it's your child that's dead, and then the jail time comes? Are you going to wish that it was you know the other way around? I don't know. There, I mean, it's just to me. I look at you know people going to, and I know, like I said, I knew this conversation was going to change somewhat from my original whatever. But is there that trade-off? Is the trade-off that you're allowing someone to, you know, get off with the citation? But then, like Shylee says, this person had 10 drinks. 10. And they got into a car. And they hit someone. And the accident could have been fatal. It wasn't. But it could have been. But her daughter went through a lot of pain. But she's not dead, right? So why should he go to jail? Why should he have been prevented? She isn't dead, right? So what's the big deal? It's a huge deal. And I'm going to tell y'all right now, if I'm on that jury, my vote is guilty. Because you knowingly made that choice. And Spanky says, citations are good as protective orders, just paper, worthless. Yep. I mean, you have people who have protective orders to keep a spouse away. Guess what? The spouse still shows up, bang, bang, you're dead. Oh, well, maybe we should have done something more. Oh, well, we've been to this house, you know, so many times. Well, oops. Oh, well, they're dead? Really? Or that judge that continues to allow that child to go back to their abusive parents. The best places is with the parents. The child died. Really? Before they were just beating the shit out of the child. Now the child's dead, so now there's a difference. Crazy says, I think jail time could scare people from doing it again is where I'm coming from. Right. Exactly, Crazy. Put them in jail. And Fair You says, so how much jail time should someone do for getting caught for drunk driving? Crazy says, but it's not going to help all and neither will rehab. Shylee says she had to take a semester off from school and couldn't walk for months, not to mention the money on the classes she paid for that she couldn't take. I mean, again. But I'm going to say, and Shylee, I'm not being disrespectful to your daughter, because you know, I love my niece, but really, that's all. She couldn't walk for months. Oh, really? But that other guy had 10 drinks. And the night before, he probably had more. And the night before for that. But this particular night, that 10 caught up with him. And he hit someone. And he hurt them. Not in jail. Yeah. Proactive. Absolutely. Anybody else want to say anything?
I just wanted to say one thing. So Crazy said, or Mayor Crazy, distinguish between the two, that where'd it go? I lost it. I think jail time would scare people from doing it again. Is where she was coming from. If jail time was going to scare people away from anything, we wouldn't have the crime we have. People know the consequences and still do it regardless, because it's that how many times can I do it till I get caught, or I'm so mad that, you know what, I feel it's worth it type thing. So I don't think it's necessarily an appropriate scare tactic. No, you're right. Not all. There are some of us who literally like, yo, I don't even want to go down that road, but it's not enough of us for us to say that would be an effective scare tactic, I guess you could say.
Okay. All right. Spanky says, should get a year for every point you're over. If you blow 2.6, then that's 2.5 years in prison. I think you're being kind for every year. I think it should be more than a year. Minnesota says, absolutely. You know, I mean, guys, you know, there are gray areas for some things, but to me, and again, this is just me, some things are just smack dab in your face. You know, just like, you know, your kid goes to school and they're getting picked on, and, you know, other parents are saying, oh, your kid should, you know, man up, you know, stop being such a wuss. But all of a sudden something happens to their child. All of a sudden they're like, oh my God, my child, how could you? The parents who let their kids play in the street. And some people say, well, it's no big deal to play in the street. Okay, so your child gets hit by a car. All of a sudden it's the driver's fault. But your child shouldn't have been playing in the street. Child wasn't playing the street, child wouldn't been hit, right? Where were you? Sitting there watching? Or maybe not there at all? Okay, Ace, what? Your child was playing in the street?
No, not the play. Look, he grew up playing in the street.
Okay, the bully thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm... the bully part.
Okay. I mean, I'm just, you know, saying that, you know, lots of variables out there, but I'm just, you know, but don't be upset if all of a sudden you're in the position that we're talking about. I bet your tune changes. It always does. It's human nature. It always does when the shoe's on the other foot. When the shoe's on the other foot, all of a sudden, everybody's howling. So, but anyway, Crazy Lady, you have a last word before we end?
No, it's all been said. I'm just one that don't drink and drive, please. You know what? If you're drinking, you think you need to drive, don't. Call me and I will pay for your Uber. Straight up.
Okay. Shy Lady, you have any last words?
I'm sorry. I was typing something because I was about to say I am about to go in the sauna, so I'm going to talk to you guys later.
but it was fun, you know, chit-chatting. Good conversation as always. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Then thank you for sharing. Ace, you have any last words?
My name is Bennett and I'm not in it. Don't be mad at me. I apologize. And I love you all.
You don't have anyone to apologize for on this show. Everybody can give their opinions as long as you're not calling anybody names and stuff like that. And like I said, when the show is over, the show is over. So thank you to Crazy Lady, Shy Lady, and Ace for popping on the panel. Much appreciated. And Fair Use and everyone else, Crazy, Brina, Juju, Minnesota, everyone who gave their opinions, and how they felt. Thank you very much. So I'm going to end with you're welcome, Ace, and I am going to end you guys with the outro song is going to be Al Green for the Good Times. And again, thank you everyone for coming on, and I will have a show tomorrow, so here you go, Al Green for the Good Times.
Don't look so sad, I know it's over. But life goes on, and this world keeps on turning. Let's just be glad we had this time to spend together. There is no need to watch the bridges that we're burning. Lay your head, on my pillow, sweet babe. Hold your warm into my clothes. The whisper of the raindrops blow softly against my window all in night. Make believe you love me one more time. For the good times, I'll get along, and I'm sure you'll find another. But baby, please remember, I'll be here. I'm gonna stay right here. If you should ever find you need me, yeah, don't say a word about tomorrow or forever and ever and ever and ever. there'll be time eating up the severance when you leave. For the good time, oh yeah, for the good time, lay your head. One time, girl, one time, hold your warm and tender body close to mine. Oh, baby, won't you hear that whisper, hear that whisper of the raindrops, of the raindrops blowing softly against my window. Oh, oh, oh. All you gotta do is, all you gotta do is make believe you love me one more time. For the good times, for the good times. And here's what you ought to do is make your head on my pillow. I just want to
okay, everyone, that's it. No worries, shy lady. And Minnesota, you know, apologies are not necessary. I miss my friend. I miss him how he used to be. I mean, this is a man who a year ago we're shoving each other and we're pushing each other, telling each other to shut up and be quiet. You know, now he can, you know, he can't even push me back. And it makes me sad. It makes me sad because it was a someone who made a choice. And that choice resulted in the way he is. You know, his mind is still sharp. He's still the funny person that I grew up with. But he's in more pain than he's laughing. It makes me sad. You know, so I'm just going to say, y'all, I understand how people feel. Everyone is entitled to their opinion. But that person who didn't hurt anybody today will hurt someone tomorrow. And the person that they hurt the day before, they're just fucked. But these are my opinions. So again, everyone, thank you for popping on. And I hope to see you tomorrow. Bye.